Welcome to the Equipping the Saints podcast. We're glad you're joining us today. Here is this week's teaching.
So excited to gather as the assembly of Christ and how vital it truly is. You may say, why are you talking about the assembly? Because we're going to talk about that today. This morning, I originally had it on my heart to preach in Luke. That is the book that we've been going through, correct? We're not going through that today. Something a little different. A whole lot different. We are going to be in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 23 through 27. I'll give everybody a moment to flip there, get there in your electronic Bibles. If you have those are wonderful. If not, I really encourage the paper Bible, the old school book, because it's important. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, kind sir.
Thank you, Pastor.
In this text, we are going to discuss the importance of truly coming together as a church, worshiping together as the bride of Christ, as well as showing true faithfulness as Christ. Let us stand for the hearing and reading of God's Word. You guys have been standing and sitting all day. God bless you.
This is a Catholic church.
Right. Well, my dad's used to that. I love him. Verses 23 through verses 27. God's Word says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking of our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of fire, which will consume the adversaries. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today we ask that you allow us to understand your scripture, understand your word. Will you open up all the ears and all the hearts in this room tonight to really take your message and to understand it and to utilize it, Father. Father, we're honored to be in your house and we're honored to worship together. Worship together as the assembly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated for a while. So in these first set of verses, verse 23, we read some key words that describe how we should be as Christians, as His people. We read, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Hold fast means rooted. It means grounded in Christ. It means grounded in our relationship and confessing our hope. And stating that our only hope is in Him without wavering. When we define wavering, it means not upright. It means it's going to constantly move. But without wavering, it means you will not move. You will stand firm and upright. You will stand upright with Christ. You will truly be rooted. Our relationship with Christ should never waver. We are His once we are saved. We are truly His. John says it clear that we will never perish. As Christians, we have that hope that we will never, ever perish. John 10, verse 28 says, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish ever, and no one will never snatch them out of my hand. How clear of a message. God's people will always persevere. They will always persevere with no wavering. Once we are saved, we cannot waver. We cannot go in opposite direction. Once we are truly saved, we are in His hands, and no one can truly pry us out. God loves his people so much that he found a way to not separate from him, to not truly separate. Continuing in verse 23, we read, the reason we can stand strong is because he who is promised is faithful. It is far better to trust his faithfulness than to trust ours. Our true faithfulness isn't faithful enough. He is truly faithful. It's much better. Much better than our true faithfulness. Moses says it's clear about God of faithfulness that we should lean on. And the context here is at the end of this verse, upright, in Deuteronomy 32:4. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Upright. Grounded and rooted. He is upright. He is truly faithful. In verse 24, we read about loving one another and good deeds. This is all characteristics of the Bible. It's all characteristics of the bride of the church. The true Christian church is loving one another and showing good deeds because we do so. Love is the ancient Greek word for agape. I'm terrible at Greek. So, yeah, that's pretty good. It's agape. Okay? It's filled with significance, and it's in the New Testament. Love is all throughout the New Testament. That shows how important that it is. It's a beautiful characteristic that every Christian should partake in. It's important because love is what the church is about. Love is the groundwork of the church. See, Jesus showed love all throughout his gospels. Jesus healed people when they didn't deserve to be healed. You may say, well, that's a way to show who he was. It was. But it's also a way to show that he truly loves those people. It's a true meaning. And we may read too, also in one of Paul's biggest works in 1 Corinthians here. 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to read a couple of verses out of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 and then verse 13. Love is patient, love is kind, it is not jealous, does not brag, and it is not puffed up in verse 4. Verse 13 says, but now abide by faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. If Paul's truly discussing about love inside of one of his books, then it's important. Love is a vital characteristic of the assembly of Christ, of the bride of Christ. He said the greatest is love. How beautiful is that? He truly loves his people. He loves his assembly. He loves the bride. This may not be no beautiful sanctuary or inside of a cafeteria. He loves the gathering of his people. He loves these chairs because we're able to gather and show that we truly care for one another, that we're there for one another, that we love each other the way God intended us to love, that our families love each other. That's church. I want everybody to flip to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. You're not. Don't worry. God's word says, now brothers, we make known to you the grace of God which has been given to the churches of Macedonia, that in a great testing by affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the richness of their generosity. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond the ability, they gave their own accord, begging us much, urging for the grace of sharing in the ministry of the saints. And this, not as we have expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So we encourage Titus that he, as he had previously made a beginning, so he would complete in you this gracious work as well. But just as you abound in everything, in faith and word and knowledge and in earnestness and in the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. Grace and love both go together. Grace and love are made to be abound together. Love is such an important characteristic of them, as a member of the church. When we describe love, it's vital that we describe love in a way Jesus would describe love. It's vital inside the church, and it should be shown at all times. Sometimes this can be one of the hardest characteristics to show. As sinful people, it's one of the hardest things to do is to show compassion, is to show love the same way Jesus showed them. I struggle with that every day. I struggle with showing love to my family. I struggle with showing love to others. It's vital that we do so if we call ourselves a member of the church. It's vital if we do that if we consider ourselves Christians. We must abide in this emotion, because it's so prominent inside His Word. If it's prominent inside His Word, then it's meant to be something that we partake in daily. It's meant to be something that we do daily. And when we discuss good deeds, these go hand in hand. Truly. These are done by faith. These deeds do not get us saved. Once again, good works, good deeds do not get us saved. They are shown by because of our fruits, which should show love. That's the importance. And it enhances the kingdom. The church is meant to do good deeds. It should be filled with people willing to do the same because of love and the love for the bride of Christ, for the church. The love for the bride of Christ. Don't matter how many people you have inside your church building. Don't matter how many people we have inside of our church. We should continuously show the emotion of love to others because they deserve it. Because we are different, because we are weird. People are going to look at us differently because of who we are, because we act differently, because we show these emotions of love. We show these characteristics. That's what's vital. Good deeds listed multiple times in the book of the prophet of Jeremiah. The prophet of Jeremiah, with God speaking to him about doing good deeds. Jeremiah 7:5 says, "For if you truly make your ways and deeds good, if you truly do justice between a man and his neighbor." We must show love to others, to do good deeds, that we care about others. We care about our church family. We care about the bride. It is important that we result in our faith, not to bend and to accommodate to the cultural beliefs. Where cultural beliefs find love as being something opposite of what the Bible states. Love is vital. Love is vital for the Christian kingdom. Remember, God is trustful. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. Our hope rests on Him and the promises of His Word. Nothing shakes the confidence of the believer rooted inside God's Word. Nothing can shake it. Individuals cannot do this work of Christ. Man cannot do this work of Christ. Only Christ can alone. He is rooted. We are not. We must be rooted into His Word together as a church family. We must be rooted inside His Word. We must be following His Word. We must be doing it as a family. No, it's challenging. We must challenge others. They say iron sharpens iron. There's a reason for that. We should be challenging each other in our faith. Women should be challenging other women. Men should be challenging other men. And men, you should be in your household challenging your family with the word. You are the spiritual leader inside your home. You should be challenging your family. It's important. It's important to grow the kingdom. You might say, how are we going to grow our church? How do you grow the church? It's the biggest mystery of a church planner. How do you grow your church? It's important. It's by showing the characteristics of love to this community. That we are to love on our community the same way we love on our church family members. That we are to show them a different sense, a different person. That you are completely different. You are different and you are acting different because you're showing us love and compassion. That's what's vital. That's how you grow the church. Our second verse is here. Second set, verse 25. The verses continue on the verse 25 stating something really clear that the church should follow. It's about not forsaking the assembly. Not forsaking of the gathering of people. The assembly of people. Christians should never abandon meeting together. There's no virus that can stop you from meeting together. There's this brother James Coates up in Canada who got imprisoned for doing church, for gathering of the assembly for months. He got persecuted for gathering his church to discuss God's word. We must never forsake the assembly. We gather to give something to God. We gather to honor and to praise Him. We gather to read His Word and to proclaim the Word as being pure. It's important that we gather as the assembly. We gather to encourage each other of faith and values. Encourage others to get through, to grow in their faith in Christ. That's why we gather. That is the assembly. We gather not to conform into the world. Leave the world out there. The world will never get inside the church. It should never get inside the church. Man brings the world inside the church. We are to truly gather in the Christian church following the guidelines of the Scripture. Me and my wife go out of town. We put maps on. I don't know where I'm going. We put maps on and it leads you to your destination, majority of the time. God's Word is your map. It is your guide to get to your ultimate destination. Celebrating in heaven. Honoring and praising Him. We must abide by the Scriptures. Only abide by the Scriptures. Leave the world in the world and let the world suffer. Church should never suffer. No matter how big or how small your church is, the church should never suffer. Because you have God's Word and you understand God's Word, and you should preach it faithfully. And your members should study faithfully. That's what the assembly is about. Assembly of people coming together with a common purpose. Christians and the Bride of Christ. How beautiful. How beautiful to see a gathering of people. Me and Brother Cameron went to Greenville, visited a church there in Greenville. How amazing to see 500 people singing and praising hymns in unison. That is beautiful. When we sing and we proclaim God, and we proclaim Jesus as Lord, and we sing these hymns and these songs before service, and I hear the voices of the assembly sing in praise and honor, that's beautiful. That's what God sees as beautiful. and we see the Alp outside of a church building. It's beautiful. Some churches should be gorgeous to you. You see the assembly of Christians. It's a gorgeous image. Nothing should be more glorious other than God. Seeing his people gather is a gorgeous, beautiful thing. That's why we gather as saints. The gathering of saints are important. There's a biblical basis for corporate assembling together as Christians. We congregate together as believers. We are to take the gathering serious. Acts 2 verse 42 says, "Show us what the early church did when they met together. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer." Christians came together. They came together to learn God's word. They came together to join and to carry out the acts of love and service to one another. Accountability and encouragement that is necessary for each other to stand in front of each other with their convictions. The local biblical church is meant to thrive, and it will thrive as long as it stays steadfast inside the scriptures. The biblical order is clear. Christ is Lord over Caesar, not vice versa. Caesar is the world. Christ is the church. Caesar is not the head of the church. Christ should be the head of the church. This is a vital understanding that the world cannot control the church. Christ controls the church. The end of days are coming. We understand that. Christ is king. Christ will always remain king. And he understands Caesar. And he will conquer Caesar. Encouraging each other are vital. Showing them the love and understanding, that is the church. The gospel is so important. The gospel is vital. The truth of Christ is the sacrifice of Christ, that he was sacrificed by God for the sins of his people. That is the gospel. That is truly the gospel. We are to maximize the work on the cross. Maximize the work on the cross, that the blood is sufficient for his people. The blood should always be enough. If we say that the blood is enough, then that's idolatry. The blood is always enough. Christ's blood is sufficient for his people. In verse 27, we read the judgment. This is not hell. I don't want you to think that that is meant about hell. Here is the judgment seat of Christ. Isaiah 26:11 says, "Lord, when your hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they will see and be ashamed for their envy of people. Yes, the fire of your enemies shall devour them." Verse 27 is the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. The adversaries are those who reject God's word. Those who say God's word is not enough. God's word is not pure. I don't need to follow that. The atheist may say God's word don't even exist in my life. Why read it? Why truly read it? What's the point? Well, it's clear. God's word is the map that we should be on, that we should be focused on. So, well, how do you go on the road? Open your Bible. It'll speak for itself. It will truly speak for itself. See, when you reject of God's word, it shows that you're truly unsaved. It shows that you don't have a relationship with God. That there's no Christ, there's no true combined relationship when you reject God's word. It shows that you're truly unsaved, that you're not a saved person. God's word should be held at the higher standard at all times, should always be held high. The degree of our fear of judgment rests on the nature of the one who judges, the true judge. True judge is God. And I tremble and I am in fear of Him out of respect because He's a holy God. When you proclaim His word, you are held at a standard that we all should partake in. Fear of God should be something that we all partake in as believers inside the church. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people, love the brethren, fear God, and honor the king. David said this in Psalms 5:7, but as for me, in the abundance of your loving kindness, I will enter your house at your holy temple. I will worship in fear of you. True fear. Worshipping in fear and love. Fear of a holy God. And it's not a fear of saying I'm scared of God. It's a fear of respecting God. Because He's almighty. The person who fears God seeks to live in all of life to the glory of God. The fear of God is respecting Him. It is obeying Him. It is submitting to His discipline, worshiping Him in pure awe. We should always be worshiping Him in awe of how glorious a holy God is. As Christians, it's important that we do not forsake the assembly of people, that we hold His word at the highest standard, showing love and understanding towards others. Pastor Charles Spurgeon once visited a man who had not attended church for a long time. The man said he was still a Christian, but didn't think he needed to go to church. Without saying a word, Pastor Spurgeon took the tongs from the fireplace and removed one piece of coal, setting it in a corner of the fireplace away from the others. It soon went out. The man got the message. The coals in a fire need each other to stay hot. And Christians need the fellowship of other Christians and the ministry of the Word to keep spiritually hot. That's the way we all should be as Christians. We need each other to stay spiritually hot. I need my brothers to keep me accountable. It's vital for the kingdom. I tell my spiritual brothers this all the time. I say, if you start to see me wander, you start to see me act like I shouldn't act, you call me out on that. Say, you're better than that. God's word says the opposite of the way you are acting. We should always do that for each other. God's word is enough to rebuke. God's word is enough to believe. And it's enough to follow. Once again, saints, the bride of Christ is important and we should gather together. The Holy Scripture should be held at the highest standard. Showing love and kindness towards each other are characteristics of Christ, which His people should be striving to be the likeness of. The likeness of Christ. The likeness of a Savior. Likeness of the Lord, same Lord that was crucified for the sins of the believer. For the Christian, He was crucified by a just and holy God, and then rose 3 days later in victory. What a glorious act. And we thank Him, praise Him, and honor Him because He is enough. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come together as the assembly today. We come together as the assembly for your word. We come into honor and to praise you. You allow us to understand the boldness of your assembly. Will you allow us to understand that we need to show love and compassion to others? That it's because of your Son that we are supposed to be in the likeness of. Father, we need to take the assembly more important than we do. We are to show these characteristics to others in this community because it's needed. Because your word says so. And your word is pure enough. Father, the assembly of your bride is so glorious and so beautiful, and let it never end. Let it never cease. Let church plants go around the world and proclaim you as Lord. Allow them to open up your word and to proclaim it to two or more gathered. You are present. Father, allow us to proclaim your Son as the Savior of this world. That you sent him on a cross and he went, felt your wrath for his people. Father, we're amazed that we're able to even meet. That we're in a country that we're able to meet and to proclaim you. That we're able to gather together and read a Bible. We're able to purchase a Bible. We're so thankful. We ask that you be with the church. Be with the assembly and the bride of Christ. And give us the characteristics of love for our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. Subscribe to our podcast and listen to the weekly teaching.